Dialogue, a presentation of the Public Affairs and Special Events Department of KLRB News. This is Dialogue Conspiracy with political research specialist Mae Russell. And for KLRB-FM, I'm Phil Kogan asking the questions. Mae, it seems almost ludicrous to even ask what we're going to talk about this week, so I won't ask. We'll just get right into it. You might say what this show has done over the past year plus.
I'm laughing when you say Dialogue Conspiracy. For the people who have listened before, it's always been Dialogue Assassination, and there's been some suggestion of changing the title of the show to Dialogue Conspiracy, along with a conjunction of the conspiracy newsletter that's going to be published, coming out soon. Paul Krasner, the realist, is going to publish the newsletter. We've told you about it on other programs. I brought the address this week. We'll give it to you later to subscribe. Dialogue Conspiracy, we'll talk about Wallace. We didn't even really touch on the death of J. Edgar Hoover, and we're right into the Wallace death, and we'll tie those together and put them into context. I brought in a copy of Paul Krasner's new book on, it's called How a Satirical Editor Becomes a Yippie Conspirator.
Can I interrupt a minute?
Yeah.
For the people who don't know what Dialogue Assassination and Dialogue Conspiracy is, let's fill them in on that.
You fill them in.
I'm...
Well,
my contract says I don't have to do that every week.
Okay. When we started this show a year ago, I came on the air as an interview for my opinion of the breaking of the Pentagon Papers in June last year. And I said that the nation had really one big story to cover in breaking, that was the political assassinations in the United States, and that nothing was as important as what happened in the past in order to understand what was going to be taking place in the future in our country, namely the fall, the summer of 72. Because my study of political assassinations is the study of how power moves, and we'll go into that. And when you kill political leaders, and particularly in these election years or close to their primary victories, like took place this week where they attempted to kill Wallace, that is the moving of power like a chessboard. We are moved, whether you know it or not, by a large number of people. They're small in number, but they're large in power. And they decide what is good for us or who should rule us or who should have the candidacy, who lives and who dies. And this is a conspiracy. The assassination is the way the conspiracy takes place. You have to kill certain people in order to maintain the power or keep the power rolling along. So we called it Dialogue Assassination. The show has to do with the assassination of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and then a few hundred people that are important in the taking of power in the United States. But the conspiracy is part of it, the planning of the murders. Some people conspire and others are hired to do the shooting. I brought in this book of Paul's. It's a new book that just came out that you people should really have. It's a collection of essays and articles from The Realist that he publishes. And they're articles from the last 10 years. But in the front page, he wrote a note for May, who helped bring about my religious conversion from coincidence to conspiracy. And I think that's good, because today and all this week, people were seeing a lot of coincidences in the killing or the attempted killing of Wallace. And I see a conspiracy. And it gives me a good chance on this program for people who've heard the program before or picked it up along the way, followed it regularly, or new listeners. It gives me a chance to test my theories of conspiracy in the United States, because Wallace lived, and the evidence is in front of you. When we talk about the murder of John Kennedy, many people listening to the show were too young to even realize what was happening or weren't catching on that this was going to become a pattern. And then the death of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy followed a few years later. But this is this week now, so we'll go into my theories of why it's a conspiracy, and you can take it from there, read the news as it comes along, and test my opinion. And if Wallace lives, we'll have a better chance to test it, because he has the guts that Robert Kennedy didn't have. See, Robert Kennedy wouldn't stand up to Lyndon Johnson and say it was a conspiracy. But if Wallace has any inkling that Richard Nixon did this to him, he'll stand up. And he has the nerve to do it. And we're going to go right into that because for several reasons. Now, 2 weeks ago, Phil, we had a show. It was on the 6th of May. And I referred to a party down in Texas. And it was simply a party at the time. It was a barbecue. And John Conley was having a party for the President of the United States and for Lyndon Johnson and some very wealthy people. I never did read the guest list. They were referred to as oil people, very wealthy people in the state of Texas. We know that Howard Hughes, who is the wealthiest man in the world right now, owns one state, Las Vegas. He owns Nevada, the whole state, the economy. But we're talking about Texas now. And I referred on that program to it being a war council, more than a barbecue, that power would move. And I read several quotations of another party down there at the home of Clint Merchants on November the 21st, 1963, that J. Edgar Hoover attended and Richard Nixon attended, at which time the AOK to kill John Kennedy the next morning, the final plans, go or stop, were given in that garden. These are what I call war councils, written by Penn Jones, similar to the Normandy invasion plans. So 2 weeks ago, they had a barbecue. And the news media that writes up that little affair and Life magazine don't refer to it in the same time terms that I do. But what's happened in the 2 weeks since we were on the air? 2 days later, J. Edgar Hoover died. The second top man under him, Mr. Tolson, resigned from the FBI along with some other top people. Mr. Gray, Patrick Gray III, Nixon's man who sat with the National Security Council, the Defense Department, became head of the FBI. This is the man we did on a show last week, who put down the murder, the investigation of the murder of a important man in Los Angeles, Ruben Salazar, who was investigating the conspiracy of the federal government and the FBI and the Los Angeles Police Department as being a police state. Another black veteran in L.A. was killed, Jerry Lee Amey. Patrick Gray stopped that investigation. He stopped the investigation of the Special Enforcement Bureau of the Sheriff's Department, and the Isla Vista investigation, which, if you went into that further, would have to do with the Sharon Tate LaBianca massacre. Patrick Gray worked on the anti-busing rule for Richard Nixon in the states of pertaining to Georgia and Mississippi. Now, this is very important because we're going into the Wallace shooting, and Wallace was a thorn in Nixon's side because when Wallace came out against busing, then 2 days later, Nixon takes the television and says, I'm against busing, breaking all the Supreme Court decisions. There was a competition between Richard Nixon and Wallace, like there was a competition between Lyndon Johnson and Bobby Kennedy. And these men play for real. They're not, when I talk about power, anything goes to keep the power. You don't just kill a lot of people in jungles of Vietnam with the electronic equipment, the type of warfare we have. The kind of mechanical death that is done, and I want to do one show on mechanical death and who does these things. One or two lives of another person in power don't mean a thing to these men. Now, this same week, Lyndon Johnson went back into the hospital, in quotes, hospital. He was safely tucked away after the war council. George Wallace was almost killed. We can refer to him as an assassination. He's living, but think in terms of what the intent was, not that he had the fluke that he survived, and he still has very serious surgery with that particular bullet lodged in an important part of the spine. And his temperature's elevating now in his pulse. So for all practical purposes, it wasn't meant that he lived. And then John Conley resigned from the Secretary of Treasury. Now, that's in just 2 weeks since we spoke about the War Council. And that is American history moving before your eyes. There are articles on the secrecy of John Conley stepping down. What was the mystery? Why is he doing it? Where is he going from here? There's an article in yesterday's paper. Is he going to become a Republican? I said a year ago on the first show, and I've said on many shows, and because of the basis of my research, the two-party system died in Dallas. It died in 1960 in Los Angeles at the time of the election. It was decided that the victor would be the victim, and Republican and Democrat were in on that killing and all the other killings. And the facade that we have a two-party system or that John Conley has to go home and register Republican is just playing with your brains. If they want to play those games, let them play them. But I wish that the listening audience would understand that they are just games and it doesn't matter how he registers. You know, see, I said the Civil War was won in Dallas, too, when Kennedy was killed. The power shifted from the Eastern Seaboard and the Ivy League down to the South, that they would be pulling the strings of who the candidates would be, what laws we would accept, and so forth. So since I said the War Council met 2 weeks ago in Texas, these are the events of history, and each one of them is a show of 2 or 3, 4 hours in itself.
Okay, now, so yeah. In the last 2 weeks, you've had Hoover dying, the second man in the FBI resigning, Patrick Gray taking over the FBI as a so-called temporary director.
Yeah.
You had LBJ going back in the hospital after a heart attack, George Wallace almost killed in Maryland, and John Connally resigning from a Republican administration.
Well, at the apex of
Democrat.
His power. That's right. At the apex of his power. Realigning his forces. He made it clear he's not resigning from political life.
Right.
He's going home to retrench.
So tie these together, and specifically let's get
okay.
into what everybody's interested in.
Okay,
and that's Wallace.
That's Wallace. Well, that is the section where I mentioned in since the War Council, Wallace was almost killed.
George Wallace has come up on the program before.
Yes.
I can't remember the day that Wallace was shot. I naturally, my thoughts at times went back to the past programs of Dialogue Assassination, and I was trying to remember whether you had ever indicated that Wallace was a potential victim.
Well, the one man that I think is going to be a victim, and I've said this the last 3 years, is Richard Nixon. I think that Wallace can achieve something to assure Nixon's coming the president now if Wallace doesn't run. And we'll go into the political complexities about this because...
But had you ever referred to Wallace, though?
I referred to multiple killings in 1972 to create chaos and anarchy or the vision of violence, which is the cover story for canceling the elections in 1972 or taking complete control like Thieu was doing in Vietnam. The specific people that would be killed, I didn't say specifically Wallace, I say Richard Nixon, and I say Richard Nixon long before I had tape recordings or copies of the recordings of Louis Tackwood from the Los Angeles Police Department and how they're planning the killing of Richard Nixon. But in order to kill Richard Nixon, you have to create a lot of other people dying along the way so that violence or it's accepted then. You see, if Richard Nixon becomes president, and is killed and Agnew becomes president, people could riot in the streets and you'd have a lot of chaos and revolution. People would suddenly catch on. But if the climate is set now that Nixon could be killed, so what? We have violent nuts. Nobody's going to get aroused. Like in Greece, they didn't get aroused appropriately to the military coup because the climate was set for the situation that took place and people didn't think it through. So that there's going to be a lot of deaths and there are a lot taking place. The second man on top of the NAACP in New York City was stabbed this week and killed. It had a 2-inch column, just said no motive. All the black leaders, right on down to the college-educated people, men like John Smith up at San Jose that I said was an important case, who worked at IBM, who had a scholarship. The smart ones are all being killed off, like the King Alfred plan. I'll bring that back and read it on a program on killing those people. But back to tying in the Wallace, the shooting for Wallace, I have... Again, this goes into Joe Justine, who has a newsletter in Germany. He wrote 6 books on the political assassinations. And his first book, Oswald, Assassin or Fall Guy, was written right after the shootout in Dallas, long before the Warren Commission just wound up their work. They even at the meetings talked about Joe Justine. And he has a newsletter that comes out from Germany every 2 weeks, and then he puts them in a book form at the end of the year. And so his newsletter dated May the 15th, which just... came out the same week we were doing our radio show. He was writing it there, and it says, "Hail to the CIA. At last they picked the right victim. The murder of J. Edgar Hoover by the CIA is an act of historic magnitude. It is a shadow cast well ahead of the forthcoming presidential election in an approved mafia style. Hoover, who knew too much, had to be eliminated in order to protect the lives and interests of the real leaders." Now, he has a whole thing that we won't do. Maybe we'll do another show because we want to go back to the Wallace. But again, the War Council met in Texas. 2 days later, we did a show on, and I implied that Hoover was killed, you know, assassinated. There was no autopsy, and we did a show on why the CIA and the people in power in the White House would kill J. Edgar Hoover at this moment. So I'm going to show you how the news came in. Monday, Wallace was shot, Monday afternoon. And I've sat with the news articles since that time, up till the time of the program. And I'm going to read you how I do my research, because this system that I have took me several years to break down with the John Kennedy. That was a complicated assassination. But Once I got a way of profiling it, I can use it for other murders to decide if they're political or not, if they're conspiracy or not. But if they are a conspiracy, and we're talking about assassination conspiracy, Phil, they follow certain patterns and they follow them straight down the line. If they're not conspiracy, if they're cold-blooded lone murderers, they have a different pattern. Now, I'm going to talk about the political effects, the motive for shooting Wallace, because the news throws out that this boy, Arthur Brammer, was a loner and that he was messy and he liked sex comics and all that. This is, again, what you call in espionage systems a cover story, because we're going to go to the facts. But, and in a political year, when a man is running for office, Wallace, who's important on the eve of a primary, it has to have some meaning that he was shot at that moment. If it doesn't, if all the evidence proves wrong, well and good. I'll have one less thing to follow, one less boy to read about. I have plenty of work as it is. But I broke down my study in these last 5 days on the political effects, the motive. What would be the motive if it were a conspiracy to kill Wallace? Then I did a chart of the similarities of this assassination attempt to the other assassinations, and I read off the similarities. I had 35 similarities in the first 4 days to the past political conspiracy. Then the next subject I study is the creation of the motive, the cover story. What stories are they using? Because there's two stories. One is the actual past of the man, and the other is the cover story. An example of that is the cover story that Lee Oswald had no job. He was a misfit, a loner. He got along with nobody. And we'll go into some of those cover stories. The truth is that he had a job at Jagger's Chili Stovall for 6 months in Dallas, where you need a security clearance. It's a government printing office for overseas spy, for maps, domestic maps. Men who were our Presidio language school, Mr. Ofstein, who learned Russian there, who was in the military, worked with Oswald, who discussed Russian language with him. Oswald had radio equipment. He had all the equipment of a spy and security clearances and so forth. The cover story is that he can't hold a job. The truth is he had a job at a sensitive place that is a government printing office. Okay, the fourth category I have is the headlines that say no conspiracy. Who is saying that? Remember, when I came in today, you showed me the early news things that you've kept through the week. And was it 5 hours later that it was decided there was no conspiracy?
Something like... It was less than five. I think it was about three.
Okay,
three
he did
hours.
It alone, and no one else was involved. Okay, right. So I break that down. You see, I take every news article every day now that comes out on this thing, and I change my typewriter roller 13 different times, and if I have more subjects, I'll put it in more, you see? But the who is saying there's no conspiracy? What officials, what positions do they take? You know, like Ramsey Clark saying there was no conspiracy a few hours after Martin Luther King was killed, based on absolutely no evidence at all, out of the Justice Department. So he's used, the Attorney General. So then the fifth category I have is the federal government. Who gets in the act? In this particular case, Richard Nixon, Patrick Gray III, Mr. Klein, that's the psychiatrist from the Justice Department giving the cover story. Who in the federal government gets into the scene? Then number six are the experts. Now, the experts are the CIA experts, not real experts. They're the writers, the psychiatrists who have covered other assassination stories, who get close to the alleged assassin, and nobody else can see him. Now we come to what makes it a conspiracy. After the news hides the real political motives and tries to tie it in with all the other loners and tell you there's no conspiracy, what is the evidence? That is where you always prove. This is where the basis of my work is solid and the other research is that the weapons, the types of bullets, and the amount of bullets, and the direction of the shots, the next thing is the wounds of the victim. If you stick with the evidence and you stick with the wounds, you have to have a conspiracy. This is a repetition of the Ambassador Hotel because you have all these holes in Mr. Wallace, and then you have a Secret Service man shot in a throat, which is much higher than any wound in Wallace's body, and the gentleman wasn't crouched down shooting up, and you have two other people that had surgery that were taken to other hospitals. And the news, you have a bulletin here that came out right away. A woman was standing in the area, was hit. She was not behind him, and the man who shot him, you know, she wasn't directly behind, so that the bullet that went through his stomach hit her. See, there's no location of the people, the other two people, so that, like in the Ambassador Hotel, you have 10 bullets, and Sirhan's gun shoots eight. And in this case, you have a gun, which I'll read off, that the police authority says shoots 5 bullets. A gunman in the valley here that I know who's an expert on weapons said it could possibly be a 6-gun or a 5-gun. The police authority said it was a 5-bullet weapon. And all you have to do is add up the evidence. See, if you add up the physical evidence, Phil, then the cover stories, you separate those. Who's giving the cover stories and hiding the evidence? So then I cross-file the... I keep a list of the actual material that comes out on the weapons and the bullets and the amount of shots. And then I do another section on the wounds and the victims, where they're located and so forth. Then we get to hardwood. Again, it's hardcore evidence. What was Bremer's actual past? What, you know, besides the cover story that he fell in the ice like a baby, you know, when he went skiing with somebody, a woman says he fell in the ice, and a 16-year-old girl says he couldn't do anything. You know, all he did was make Nixon's Southern strategy possible. He affects the whole electoral process. But a 16-year-old girl is called to say he can't do anything. I mean, just look at what he's done to the political scene, and at the time of year he's done it. And then look at the people they call in. And then I have a column called The Custody, the Legal Protection, and the Charges. That's in the actual arraignment and so forth. Because the only thing missing now is the name lawyer sent out from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. In every conspiracy case, they have name lawyers. And they're the only ones that get close to them. So if this was a conspiracy, he's not going to get some local lawyer that went to law school when his dad was running his business. And we haven't heard much about what business dad's in either. Then I have a section called Things That Make You Wonder, questions that are not answered in all of this, that if you put your head together, you begin to do your own thinking. And a section called Witnesses to Call. If there is a trial, I'll bet you these people won't be called and they won't be asked the questions that I would ask them. So I read my newspaper. This takes a lot of work to break every news article into these. You know, every news article doesn't cover these categories, but anything in this category I break into columns like mathematics. So that if you have a page, you know, and I sit here and you've got just a page all full of numbers, it doesn't mean anything. But if you put them in columns, you get a different total.
So you have the Wallace incident.
Broken down.
Broken down, as well as the Bobby and John Kennedy assassinations.
Well, you see what I did? I started with the John Kennedy assassination. Like, say you take right away the weapon, and they announce everything that has to do with a weapon. You put into weapon... notebooks, because I have hundreds of notebooks on that. You know, I've got 200 notebooks just breaking down that kind of stuff, because right away the weapon was a British rifle. Then it was a German Mauser for 24 hours. It was a German Mauser that the police had. This is on all the records and news media. Then 24 hours later, it became an Italian Carcano, and all the police officials in Dallas and the Dallas police, the FBI, the Secret Service, nobody knew the difference between the Italian and the German. But as Mark Lane pointed out, if you turn it on its belly, written in English, it says made in Italy. So the weapon changed length, and it changed weight, and the scope, everything changed in 24 hours.
Do you know how the Wallace weapon is doing? Has it changed?
Well,
metamorphized at all?
Well, a second weapon was found today, and we're going to go into that, but yesterday rather. Now, this is the category that I broke down the John Kennedy assassination. Now, what I did, we're talking about the Wallace right now. I broke the Kennedy into several hundred categories. You know, this took me, I've done this 9 years. I completed the research that I wanted to write the books I'm doing on the John Kennedy thing on Oswald the agent. And it's because of the way I did my research on Oswald the agent that I can understand Sirhan, James Ray, or Bremer, or any political patsy, Charlie Manson. The pattern is always the same. The cover stories come out fast. The people are assured there was no problem in the country. The physical evidence doesn't match any of the law of physics or ballistics or credibility in any shape or form. You see, when you get to the physical, then you have to go back, and this is what I did, and it took me so many years, is to say, well, if the bullet direction of the shots in John Kennedy don't match what they said happened, who were the people that gave the cover stories? Who do they work for? So you reconstruct cover stories. It didn't come easy. It took me a couple of years of reading the Warren Report and the commission hearings. I think I sat with them just 2 years and read them till I saw a pattern evolving, a consistent pattern of the way they asked people questions before the commission, what they didn't ask.
What kind of people What kind of people are responsible for putting out these cover stories?
Well, they're part of the power group that overthrew the government in 1963, and they maintain their power through cover stories. Now we're going to break down each one of these as time allows to show you how I come to the conclusion.
Yeah, but what kind of people are they that put out these cover stories?
Mr. Kissinger, Richard Nixon, the National Security Council, agents of the Central Intelligence Agency, Patrick Gray, the new head of the FBI. Those are the kind of people that give the orders of what happened.
Now, the statement that came up immediately after the shooting and the legislation which has been proposed again, as it was proposed after the Robert Kennedy assassination and after the John Kennedy assassination, was let's ban the guns. This is, we're, by allowing these guns to be available, we are asking for these types of acts, and that America is sick.
Yeah.
And this has been a, well, if that were true, if you believe that, then you would have to not believe that there's any conspiracy that, well, you might believe. They don't necessarily go together, but a sick America, sick individuals in America with guns are...
Eliminates a conspiracy.
Yeah, they're easier to understand.
That's a cover story I brought in for you. I can't cross-file. Time doesn't allow me to cross-file every public official who says we have too much violence in this nation, you know, this holier-than-thou kind of crap.
Well, that's kind of an apple pie issue,
violence. But so what I brought in is a list for the first 2 days that the crime takes place. I bring in the public officials who give out this kind of no honest answer. That isn't, see, the real problem isn't these 20 or 30 or 40 people that were called on those first 2 days to talk about violence. The question is how many bullets were shot in Maryland. How many bullets were recovered? And we'll go into the actual evidence. And then all the other cover story is ridiculous. The man who guarded Bobby Kennedy, the two men who were guarding him, have been written up as responsible for part of his death. And one was Bob Barry, who was formerly the FBI. And the other was Thane Caesar, who's been accused of shooting him from the back of the head, who was the guard. So to say we need gun laws is to hide the real conspiracies. And the more they say it and the more they repeat it, it just clouds the actual evidence, which you're not getting on the air or on your news sheet. You get a little bit, and what you're not getting is important, because later you see the evidence that's coming through these yellow sheets that you're showing me of coming in on the news department, UPI. They're just throwing out pure garbage and repetition and not seeing the evidence of the case. And you say, well, where is the evidence? If Wallace lives or if Wallace dies, it doesn't become newsworthy. And then later, the various researchers, like myself, are looking for the evidence, the physical evidence, because we're on to the way the system works now. And that's what's not in the news. And when the researchers work and find those bullets in Los Angeles and how many there are and realize that Sirhan's gun was thrown away and the evidence was tampered with, the people's minds are so set that Sirhan was a nut or a kook or that society is violent that they don't even follow when we talk about the evidence. You know what's happened.
Okay, now, we'll get into... The Wallace shooting in more detail after we break for station identification. You're listening to Dialogue Conspiracy, and this is KLRB FM Carmel, stereo 24 hours a day.